Albert Einstein is sometimes quoted as saying, "If the beach disappears from the surface of the earth, man would have no more than 4 years to live." I'm not sure if Einstein really said that. The statement might feel exaggerated, but yes, there's a bit of truth in the statement, and it can simply explain the importance of bees and other important pollinators. Hi, this is the host Neeraj Gupta, and you're listening to the Science Up Podcast. To explain more about the bees, what would the world without the bees be like? Why they are disappearing? Are we responsible for this? And what we as individuals can try to preserve the animals and plant lives? We are here joined by Olga Koppel, a PhD candidate from University of Ottawa. She is doing her research on the same. So welcome, Olga, to the Science Up.
Hi, Neeraj. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Okay. So can you please tell a bit about yourself and what is your research on?
I'm a biologist and PhD candidate at the University of Ottawa in Canada in the field of macroecology, which means I study the relationships between species and the whole natural world at very vast scales, like across continents. And particularly, I'm interested in the relationship of the natural world with one very important pollinator group, bumblebees. I use records that have already been collected across the continents of bumblebee occurrences to look at where they've lived in the past, where they live now, what's driving some of them to disappear from our planet, like you said, and whether climate and land use changes have anything to do with this.
Okay, so you guys just keep track of where these bees migrate and all?
Yes, and also what time of year that we tend to see them, which has also been changing recently.
Yes, the work that you're doing is really exciting. So anyway, why we are talking about bees? Means why they are important for us? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Bees, in general, pollinate 85% of the crops, all the crops we grow. So there's fruits, vegetables, even cotton. And bumblebees are one of the most important pollinator groups within this. So to give you some context, there's about 250 different kinds of bumblebees in the world. 60 of these are in North America, where I am right now, and 48 of these are in India. And I like to say that if bumblebees were on a sports team with other pollinators, they would be the MVPs, the most valuable players of the team. This is because, like I mentioned, they're really good pollinators of crops. That's because they're big and fuzzy. This means pollen sticks to them anytime they visit a flower. And by the way, they're not picky about what flower they want to visit. They're generalists, so they'll pollinate any flowers anywhere that you live. And they're super efficient because they're so big. So they've got lots of energy in their bodies for a long day of pollinating. And they also carry their pollen on their legs. So next time you see a bumblebee, check it out. You might see like this little pollen sac. It's like a yellow.
Yeah, I've seen some YouTube videos that and some honeybees also, right? Bees, honeybees.
Bumblebees definitely. You've seen like this little yellow oval on the leg, right? Of like.
Bags of pollen.
Yeah, I think bumblebees are the ones that do this the best. I'm not actually sure if a lot of other bees do this behavior in particular. Also, have you heard of something called buzz pollination?
No.
It's this unique thing that only bumblebees can do again. They can shake their bodies in a way to efficiently extract the pollen from some of the crops that we grow, like blueberries and tomatoes. And in this way, get out that pollen. And other bees can't do this. So that means with no bumblebees, we wouldn't really have that many of those crops.
Okay, now, so what would happen if all these bees go extinct?
So without bees, we'd have a world food crisis. We'd have much fewer wildflowers because the bees, a lot of wildflowers rely on bees and other pollinators to carry the pollen around between them. We would have dairy shortages, believe it or not, because cows rely on bee pollinated food. And like I said, we wouldn't have cotton. So forget having jeans or any denim in your closet.
Yeah, knowingly and unknowingly, we are so much dependent on them. And not only they are critical pollinators, and they pollinate around 70 to 80% of fruits and vegetables that we eat, the food we eat. But also, if the plants doesn't get pollinated, they won't we will be losing them, right? We'll all lose all the plants and the animals that eat those plants, and so the food chain. So everything will be so messed
up.
And the world population, the global human population of 7 billion, I don't know how we'll be able to sustain. So what else do you think these beaches are important for?
I think definitely there's going to be a lot of problems for us. Life as we know it would absolutely change. And another reason that Albert Einstein, whether he did say this, is actually correct, is that we also call bumblebees an indicator species. So if you see something going wrong with small insects like bumblebees, it's a good indicator that something is off, the equilibrium is off in the environment and in lots of other ways as well.
Why bees are disappearing?
Human-driven activities are causing a biodiversity crisis that we've seen most plainly in the past few decades. Because of land use change, like the amount of land that we convert to agriculture and to building cities, we're also taking away their habitats through cities and pesticides that we spray, right? Also harmful chemicals like pesticides, we have an unprecedented rate of species loss. Just last year, the United Nations reported that as many as 1 million species are at risk of going extinct in the next few decades at a rate 1,000 times higher than normal, than a baseline rate. And this is because of human actions. And speaking of bees specifically, a quarter of bees that we know, so only the ones that we've already discovered, they've already gone extinct. They're disappeared.
Okay, so what can we all do as individuals to try to preserve the animal and plant life around us for future generations?
I think that's a great question, Nerys, because we usually think of large-scale changes in our world as being the responsibility of policymakers, right, or big corporations, or scientists and engineers. But I actually think teachers and parents and everyone else have an enormous role to play. So, first of all, teachers and parents are important because if we capture children's natural curiosity for nature, this will go a long way to determine the values that these kids have when they grow up. So if they value nature, they'll find innovative ways to protect our planet and our biodiversity. What you could do, Nerys, to save our beautiful planet is to make the outdoor spaces around your home welcoming for pollinators. So maybe you could plant...
Okay, so I can plant some flowers and all.
Yes, but specifically, I would advise that you plant some native flowers. So do you know any native plants that are, you know, have always grown in the area where you live?
Yeah, there are some vegetable crops and roses and all.
Awesome, yeah. And if you avoid using pesticides when you plant them too, that'll avoid any nasty surprises for the bumblebees and other pollinators that come to visit.
Yeah, in my locality, one person keeps on using so much pesticides, and he also complains that his fruits and his vegetables are not that much producing. Mm. I guess he's killing all the pollinators that that might be coming to that plant.
Exactly. Yeah, of course, he needs the pollinators to spread the pollen around, and maybe he's killing other beneficial insects as well in the process. So yeah, definitely sounds like that.
Okay, yeah.
I also want to ask you, are there any dandelions or other kind of flowering weeds in your area that are just left to grow on their own?
Yeah, nearby only. I'm in my institute, but not disclose my current address. Okay, so I'm in my institute, and nearby there are so many water hyacinths here. It has spread all over the water body. And I guess, yeah, it has flowers, right?
A water hyacinth. Yeah, they've got little purple flowers, is it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it flowering yet.
Yeah, I think, so the reason that it might be spreading so quickly and it might become like a problem is because it's not a native plant. I think it's exotic. I'm not sure exactly where it comes from, but probably because it wasn't always around. So it's what we call an invasive species, which means it comes into the environment, it might not have any natural competitors, and so it super quickly takes up lots of space.
Yeah.
So that might be a reason, that's another good reason to try to focus on native plants when you're trying to build your pollinator garden.
Okay, I'll try. Okay,
I
so
have one more piece of advice that we could all do to help scientists in this research battle to save the bees. If you have this app, sorry, where you can help.
Okay, what's that app?
The app is called iNaturalist. There's also eButterfly and lots of other community science apps like this. And they work by recording the species that anyone has around them, whether you're out on a walk or you're in your back garden and you see a butterfly or you see any other animal or plant that you think is interesting. You take a picture and upload it to one of these community science apps. It's a super fun way for families to notice how welcoming their new pollinator garden has become for insects and birds. It's a fun way to just, appreciate the nature around you. And scientists also really appreciate it because we can use this data. It's so much data coming from all over the world that we can use in our graduate research, for example. And it's so much more data than I could ever collect during my own degree.
Okay, so I'll drop all these links in description of this podcast episode, so everyone listening to this episode can download this app and they can contribute to this all this exciting research going on here.
Awesome. That'd be great. I appreciate it.
That's it for now. We'll be back with more of such exciting episodes to science you up. Till then, keep hearing, keep sharing. Listen it on every podcast platform like Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. And here's a simple trick. Say to your Google Assistant to play. Just Google Play Science Up Podcast and enjoy. Thanks for listening.